One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, welcome everybody. Happy Sunday. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I'd like to welcome you to this NTEB House Church Sunday service. We are so very glad that you're here with us today. All through the Bible, God compares his spoken, written, purified, and preserved word to a sword that's used on the battlefield, and its purpose is to obtain the victory for which the Lord intended to have. In Revelation 19, that word coming out of the mouth of King Jesus is called a sharp sword with which he shall smite the nations. In the Old Testament, one of David's mighty men held so tightly to the sword in battling the Philistines that the Bible says that his hand clave unto the sword. It became a part of his hand. Now, what is that a picture of? Well, a born-again Christian living in the end times on the battlefield against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sticking that close to their Bible to battle with, so close that it becomes a part of you. 2 Samuel 23:10, our text for today. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. There is no getting around it, Christian. You and I who are saved are called to be soldiers, as Paul points out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we are called to run into the fight with the word of the living God in our hands. We thrill to read about David's mighty men. But if we fail to make the application to us here in the closing moments of the church age, then all we've really done is read some interesting history that happened a long time ago. The Lord gave David and his ragtag remnant soldiers a great victory that day because they clung to the sword and won the battle. That same Lord is standing by to give victory to the mighty men and women of the church age, to whosoever will come and join his fight. Is that you? On this Sunday service, come and get your sword sharpened and get back in the battle, redeeming the time because these last days are evil. And we're going to call you today to the fight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, God, and Lord, we are so happy to be able to assemble together as a church family across America and around the world in over 140 different nations, and every month that number goes up, Lord, and we thank you, we praise you. Father God, in just the last 10 days on Twitter, you brought in over 7,000 new followers, and we pray that many of them will find their way to these services and Bible studies and podcasts so that they can hear the word of God and they can get saved. And Lord, we pray today, we pray, Lord, for all of us who are born again, that you would give us this time, Father, to sharpen our own swords. And your word says that we're called to be soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And Father God, today we pray and we thank you and we look forward to this time in your word. And we ask you to work and move among us, Lord, and give us a renewed vigor for the battle. And Father God, will give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday. So glad that you're here today. I love our Sunday service. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here on a Sunday. Next Sunday, please keep me in your prayers. I'm going to be meeting with the elders from North City Baptist Church. And this has been brewing for about the last 7 or 8 months. And we're going to talk tomorrow about how Now the End Begins might participate at North City Baptist Church and how we might be able to utilize their church facility when they are not there. And they're only there the first and third Sunday of each month. So I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about. But if you guys could keep me in your prayers as I meet with the pastor and the head deacon a week from today. So there will be no Sunday service next Sunday because that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be meeting with them. And I'm excited because it looks like we're going to that God is opening the door. That we're going to have a brick and mortar church facility. And I'm very, very excited about that. So, but again, I think you guys know how I think after all these years. I don't want anything that God doesn't give me. I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. I have been praying about this for many years now, that God would open up a opportunity for us to be able to meet in a brick and mortar church and begin to really be a blessing and a witness to the downtown of St. Augustine. But if God doesn't want it, then I don't want it. But if God wants us to have it, then I'm all for it, and I am all in, absolutely. These broadcasts will never stop. So you don't ever have to worry about that. If God does give us a brick and mortar facility, we will broadcast from there, or I'll come back to the studio. But you don't ever have to worry about these Sunday services or the Bible studies or the podcast stopping, because they won't, because God has raised up an amazing thing with Now the End Begins globally. And think about that. We are in 140 different nations on the face of the earth. And I want to see that number go up before the rapture. And so thank you to everybody who prays for this ministry, who supports this ministry. God is absolutely doing some amazing things with us in these end times. And I hope it is well. We live in chaotic times. We live in a day where we're watching Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. But let's just take a moment this morning and bow our heads and just get before the Lord and thank him for he woke you up today. He gave you something to eat. He gives you a place to stay. He puts a roof over your head. He puts clothes on your back. What more do you really need? Is it well with your soul today? I hope it is, and I pray that it is, and we're so glad that you're here with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's well with your soul today. We have lots of work to do. We have lots of ground to cover. The Bible says in Titus 2:13 that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're absolutely doing that. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We live in strange times. We live in crazy times. Why do you think I keep going back to the book of Habakkuk as much as I do? For 2.5 years now, we have been pounding Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And we live in the Laodicean church age. And in the past couple of days, I've gotten a bunch of emails from people showing me these videos where Now the End Begins is they are calling us hyper-dispensationalists because we believe that people get saved in the tribulation different than they do in the church age, calling us hyper-dispensationalists because we believe that the church is going to be raptured before the time of Jacob's trouble. And this is what, and look, when you guys send me these video links, I do my very best to go watch those videos and pay attention to those videos. But let me tell you something. Do not be shocked and do not be surprised when you see attacks coming from other Christians about Bible prophecy, about the end. The vast majority of Christian churches, Christian groups, and anybody involved in any sort of ministry in 2023, they are not rightly dividing the Bible. So they don't understand the difference between the church age and the tribulation age. They don't see God removing the church before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. They don't see all the things that we talk about week in and week out for the past 11 years in our Bible studies. Do you realize how, and I'm just going to brag on the Lord for just a minute, because I love to brag on the Lord. When he raised up Now the End Begins, I want you to think about how rare of a thing it is that you have an online ministry that is as large and as listened to as Now the End Begins. We started King James only, and we have stayed King James only. We started rightly dividing the Bible, and we have stayed rightly dividing the Bible. We have started out paying attention to our dispensations, and we remain attentive to dispensational differences. So don't be shocked and don't be surprised when maybe the ministry that you've been listening to for years and years, and I don't want to name any names right now, but do not be shocked and do not be surprised when ministries that you have been listening to for years do not see the difference dispensationally between the church age and the tribulation. Do not see a dispensational difference between church age salvation, kingdom age salvation. They can't see it because nobody ever taught it to them. So one of the things that we thank God for on a daily basis, he gave us that old book, that dusty old book. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who shall say unto him, what doest thou? We have that dusty old book that everybody wants to get rid of. But we want it. And this ministry is one of the most unusual. And you look, if this was 50 years ago, Now the End Begins would just be one of hundreds of ministries preaching and teaching Bible truth. But in 2023, we are one of the very last ones left. Do you realize that? We are one of the very last ones left that stick to the old book, that stick to the old paths, that rightly divide the... See, you got me all wound up now. But it's good. It's good to get wound up. You should get... You know, look, today we're going to be talking about one of David's mighty men. And he fought in battle so hard that his hand clave unto the sword. It became one with the metal of that sword. And that's a picture of what should be my relationship and your relationship with your Bible. We are soldiers. We are called to, we are given orders. We are told to hold the line. We are told to hold our position. And when all is said and done, you're going to be really, really happy at the judgment seat of Christ that you stuck with the old book, that you stayed with the old doctrines and stayed with the old hymns and walked in the old paths wherein is the good way. When you get up there and when I get up there, we're going to be really, really, really glad that we did it the old-fashioned way.
My footsteps are slow, I've walked my last mile, I've waited so proud for just a short while. When the trumpet shall sound, I'll be sleeping no more. I'll join with loved ones who've gone on before. While the ages roll on, I'll walk with the King. I'll walk with the King.
On streets made of gold.
On streets made of gold. I'll shout and I'll sing. I'll shout and I'll sing. I'll never look back.
I'll never look back.
On life's stormy sea. On top of Mount Zion I'll be. Shall see the robe and the crown is waiting for me. No sports cars will ride to sharpen the shore. We'll live in sweet peace forevermore.
While the ages roll on.
While the ages roll on, I'll walk with the King. I'll walk with the King.
On streets made of gold.
On streets made of gold. I'll shout and I'll sing. I'll shout and I'll sing.
I'll never look back
on life's stormy sea. On top of Mount Zion I'll be. On top of Mount Zion I'll be.
Amen, amen. We're going to be getting started with our prayer time in just a couple of minutes. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it in the chat room. And if you're trying to get to the chat room but you can't find it, just go to ntebradio.com and you will be in the chat room. Right after this, we're going to get started with our praise and worship time.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he's everything to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We give him praise because he is worthy. We give him our prayers because he listens." Isn't that something? The God of the universe is listening to our prayers. I don't know about you, but that sends a chill down my spine. And today we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, members of Jeanette's family, Lori Ann's family, my family. We pray for Jesse and his mom and Rachel's dad, Ralph, the Bolton family, Colby Bohan, Jordan Long, David Peck, members of the Weers-Bickey family, members of Jeffrey Young's family, Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin. We're praying for their family. And all these families have unsaved loved ones, whether they are mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, niece, and nephew. And let me tell you something. God is raising up prayer warriors, and people are getting witnessed to and prayed for and prayed over, and stuff is getting done, and it's exciting to see. Connie has three unsaved kids. Joshua Gaskins praying for Uncle Steve and Stephanie and Michael. Brandy asking for her family to get saved. We're praying for Rita, who's been in Minnesota with her family. And her sister, Ginny Glover, got saved last month. How exciting is that? And that's a praise report that we all get a piece of. Ron for salvation. He had surgery for a blocked artery. And if somebody can give me an update on him, the surgery went well. If somebody can give me an update on Ron, that would be great. Spray of Sunshine, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Rick Dotson, and we have been praying for Rick Dotson's salvation. I would say, if I had a guess, we've been praying for his salvation for close to 2 years now. And Shaycaster said in the chat room earlier, update on Rick Dotson. He's been given 6 months to live, and he is in the Brendan House Hospice Center. And he is our secretary's husband. She is on the list, too. Her name is Beth. Rick Dotson facing the end of his life now, and we will continue to pray for his salvation. Jan Lacker praying for David. Barbara's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer is praying for the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. And we have been praying for those particular people for close to 2 years now. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to see fruit. Karen says, salvation for children Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara praying for son Jody, Mark Sherlock, Savannah, and Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Nancy praying for Brandon and Michelle. Jill praying for husband Jerome and son and daughter. And she's in the chat room as M Translated to Light. And she requested a box of Bibles last week for a ministry that she's starting where she lives. And please keep that in your prayers. Kathy Hughes' son for salvation. Haley C. is praying for Zane. Lulu is, she's praying for unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to get saved. Kathy and Dennis Giacomino. It's a big list. I don't say it every time, but I'll say it today. They are praying for Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. That's a lot of people to get saved, and we're praying that we're going to see some fruit from that very soon as well. Dawn D. is praying for David. Paul Caulfield praying for his father, his sister, and his brother-in-law. Ramona Hayes is praying for daughter Kimberly, and also grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B. is praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's praying for his wife, Shayna. Lori B. needs to get saved. Shira McPherson praying for son, Scott, and daughter, Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, for salvation. Cheryl and Mark Fennell for salvation. Kevin Thompson is praying for family members. Steve Graves, Elga, they need to get saved. Rob is asking salvation prayers for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T. is praying for her husband. Summer Robbins is praying for her dad, Brian Robbins, to get saved. Todd Broom is praying for Thad Broom. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy for salvation. Adam and Katie are praying for family members to get saved. Gary Tatterson, parents, brother, and cousin. Joe Rusiello is praying for mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen is praying for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace is praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, and Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and wife Lindsay need to be saved. Hannah's mom, Bruce Bridges, is praying for Elena and Malena. Anja is praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans is praying for his friend Taylor. Viviana is praying for Javier Reyes. Scott Thaler needs to get saved. Adam and Katie are praying for Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates, they're praying for Kenny and Matthew. Jane is praying for son Troy. Julie Lynn is praying for her friend Katie Ann. And Julie Lynn is getting ready to move out into her own place, and please pray about that. Chona would like salvation prayers for family members. Chuck Edgerton, son Jacob, mom Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth. Deborah Hare, that's Bunky in the chat room. Unsaved family members. Rita is praying for unsaved Catholic family members. Teresa prayers for her unsaved family members. Lisa is praying for her dad, John. Annabelle for his kids. Deborah Milton for son, Billy. Hap Nightingale, sons, Jimmy and Zach. Trisha is praying for her co-workers. Colonial Man praying for Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel is praying for family members. Mike Crabb is praying for Trevin. Henrik Larson is praying for family members. Roz GB has lost people in her family. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington, he needs to get saved. Marisol Barcina, Catholic family members. Rapture 57, unsaved family members. Gail is praying for Jim. Shirley is praying for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey is praying for parents Anna and Narillo and other members of his family. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole for salvation. Kenny B. would like salvation prayers for his unsaved family. Rachel K., unsaved family, friends, and neighbors. Sandra C., unsaved Catholic family members. Marky Mark, prayers for unsaved relatives and neighbors. Regina Danner is praying for Kelly, Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. Angela's mom, Rose Marie, for salvation. Carol from Georgia, praying for cousins and aunt. The Breida family up in Canada for salvation. Stacy Bunton in Texas praying for her husband's salvation. Rachel Adams is praying for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mike, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and to overcome addiction. Mark is praying salvation for his sons Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch is praying for his daughters Rachel and Hannah and their husbands. Joey the mailman. He usually brings the mail to the bookstore. He had knee surgery. He's recovering, and we're praying for his salvation. Regina is praying for Kelly, Chris, and Cisco. Jericho is praying for his family. Brenda's husband, Paul, needs to get saved. Ramona Hayes is asking salvation prayers for daughter Kimberly, grandson William and his family, grandson Jason, grandson David, and granddaughter Amanda, and all their families. Kenny would like salvation prayers for friends and family. Amanda Astern in the chat room would like salvation prayers for Melanie and Payden. Jericho is praying for his three older brothers and their families. The Mudo family, or Mudo family, to get saved. Steph is praying for Michael. Terry is praying for her salvation. Xavier is praying for his mother, wife, daughters, and other family members. Maria Silva is praying for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's children need salvation. Shannon Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Kevin Swift is battling a rare blood cancer. Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Catherine B. is chronically ill, and we're praying for her ongoing needs as well. Pam is battling glaucoma. She needs our prayer. Katrina, a 25-year-old mom, has breast cancer. She needs to be healed of that. Dave Evans is praying for his friend Diana with lymph node cancer. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Annetta needs a complete healing from a stroke. Natalie's husband, Ken, healing from esophageal cancer. Roz's daughter-in-law battling stage 3 cervical cancer. Bonnie is praying for 17-year-old Ariel Roberts with a terminal brain tumor. Clayton Perry, ongoing cancer treatments. Robert Wiley, ALS disease. Dina's mom, Marcy, is healing from colon cancer and chemotherapy. Chelsea B. is praying for 6-year-old Camilla with a neuroblastoma. Kathy Kelly is praying for her sister, Donia, with non-alcoholic cirrhosis. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying for a complete healing. Jeanette says, my caregiver is asking prayer for her mom with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Dana Bragdon has issues with her heart. And I haven't heard an update in a while. Dana, if you're listening, please give me an update on your SVT heartbeat condition. Marriages and family restoration. Jan Lacker and her husband, he wants a divorce. We're praying against it. Erad is asking prayers for Brother Morris and Sister Gift for their marriage. Bianca and Derek, Angela and Jeff, Stephanie and her husband Andy. Andy needs to get saved. Jeff needs to get saved. Derek needs to get saved. And all of those marriages are in various states of needing the Lord to step in and do something. Kathy Giacomino, please pray that these lukewarm saved family members will get on fire. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Lori Cordes is praying for Kevin, who is in a wheelchair. Chona's mom, Erlinda, low potassium, her aunt, bedridden from a stroke, and her father with an illness. Penny has the beginning stages of dementia. We're praying for that. Feely would like prayers for her kids. They are not living for the Lord. Brooke Kettlecamp has ongoing special needs, and we are lifting her up. Carrie is asking prayer for husband Jerry, possible dementia. Jackie Heyman, we're praying for her that she would get favor with the court regarding custody of her son. Donna is asking prayer for Amanda and Mark and baby Madison, who was a who was born at 29 weeks. James Pickett, we've been praying for him. He has long COVID and needs the Lord to get him a job. Brenda would like prayers for Paul, Daniel, and Bunny, that God would open their eyes to him and let them experience true and total peace. Amen. We're praying for Kate regarding her housing situation, and we are praying for Blaine as well for his housing situation. And I really believe that God is going to do something in both those cases, and we are excited about that and just waiting on the praise reports. In the Philippines, please remember our overseas pastors, John Ree, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Fo John. Luann in Turkey, she's an American missionary who ministers to the Muslims. Pastor David Mark, and I believe it's Rita who told me about Luann. And Rita, if you're listening, if you could just send me an update about her. I would like to support her in some way if we can, rather than just pray for her. Anyway, give me an update on Luann. That would be great. Pastor David Mark in India, Stephen McCarroll in Ireland with the Gospel Bus Ministry. Please pray for, and the name escapes me, North Carolina, Scott Pendergraf and his wife, Daughter of the King. There it is. Daughter of the King Ministries, and the work that they do, the great work that they do up in North Carolina with the homeless. And I haven't written about that in a while. I have an update that I'm going to write about. But, you know, God is using us to touch so many other missions and missionaries across America, here at home and around the world. It's just so encouraging to me. Irad Bairumumishu in Uganda, and we're praying for the Good Child Missions. Over 1,100 kids had a cup of porridge today, and they had that cup of porridge because we paid for it. And God put on our heart to support that work that Irad is doing, and we're supporting it for an entire year. It costs thousands of dollars, but is it worth it to give 1,100-plus kids every Sunday a big, delicious cup of porridge, maybe the only food that they'll have all day? Brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. So please keep Irad in your prayers. Xavier would like prayers as he distributes multi-language tracts to three cities in Spain, Zaragoza, Valencia, Teruel, and to the jail in Teruel. Kentucky Jeffrey, he's a street preacher in Ohio, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Adrian Breda, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinek. In Philadelphia, we have street preacher Marie, and she's excited about the camp meeting. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. In South Africa, we have evangelist Arthur Uys, and Joe Rusiello is street preaching in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram is leaving Bibles at truck stops. Mia would like us to pray for Jay, a street preacher to the LGBTQ plus community. And Justin, who is Night Watch Audist, and his friend Tom Hennessy, we are praying for their street preaching ministry up in Canada. Jeanette says, Christy, my caregiver, needs prayer for her ex-husband who is abusive. I've already given you the update on Rick Dotson, and he has entered into hospice. Maybe we could reach out to him with some reading material. Shay Caster, if you could think about this and get in touch with Lori Ann, what type of books that we might be able to send to him. If he's going to be in hospice, he has some time to do some reading. Let's send him some reading material. Patty Rogalski's husband, Jerry, needs to stay on the prayer list. Morphine is not helping, and the chemo is keeping it from going to stage four, but Patty and her husband are overwhelmed. And I know that feeling. I have been there, and it is absolutely exhausting. After a while, you begin to hallucinate. You get so tired. And so we are lifting up Patty and her husband, Jerry. Erad Bursch, please pray for an unsaved man in my community who is deadly sick. I witness to him, and I pray that God heals him so that he can believe and testify to his unsaved friends. Nightwatch Audis, unspoken. Blaine, please remember my prayer request about affordable housing. We absolutely are. Trisha says, please pray for me. Big decisions coming up. Amen. Regina Danner, Linda, internal bleeding. She is still in the ICU with a blood clot in her heart. And she says, not sure she is going to make it, but I did talk with her and told her to fight. So we are continuing to pray for our sister Linda. Jill says, please pray as I make preparations to reach the lost in my community. Amen. Amen. Joy Piper, good afternoon, asking for prayers for my daughter Carolyn, who has a migraine today. Kimmy D says, my upstairs neighbor that I've been witnessing to now for a year is in rehab. He is saved, amen, and made a profession of faith at the Eagle's Nest Rehab Center. His name is Josh, and he is a brand new child of God. We are so glad to hear that. Shannon says, please pray for me and for everybody at the Now the End Begins Ministries. Thank you. We need that. Karen says, my sister Sharon is having problems with her eyesight. Julie Baird, prayers for the Baird family. Their grandmother is taking it hard. They lost a loved one. Berta Crabb, please pray for our daughter Dodie and her family. Karen says, my sister Shannon having problems with vision. Andrew, salvation prayers for Dean and Lisa. Angel, praise report. Healing of bronchitis, no signs. Amen. Coach C, please pray for my delivery when I witness milk, not meat. Most are ready to meet. Lord, give me the words. Jericho says, please pray for Jason Lefay, a native missionary in Assam Province, India, and his wife and child that we support through Gospel for Asia. Amen, amen. And it is also Christy Ann's birthday. We want to wish her a very, very happy birthday as well. Heavenly Father, and I just want to take a minute and say what a blessing that Christy Ann has been to this ministry over the years. She is always commenting in the chat room. She is always commenting on our social media. She's always posting uplifting, positive scripture messages. She loves the Jewish people. She loves the nation of Israel. Today is her birthday, so a very, very happy birthday to Christy Ann. We're so glad that you're part of the NTEB family and have been for a long, long time. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we come before you. Wash us clean, Father God. Remove everything that offends. Forgive us for every sin. And Lord, use us today. Make us meet for your use. And for all these prayers for salvation, we rejoice. Every time we see somebody get saved, like Josh got saved, and Lord, it is just so great to see all these people here at Now the End Begins who are battling on the front lines where they live and getting the gospel out and getting Bibles out. And Father God, please continue to use us in 2023. We love your book. If nobody wants that book, we want it, Lord. We love your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. If nobody else wants him, we want him, Lord. We want your old ways and your old paths. And we thank you, God. We praise you. We commit all these prayers to you. And we thank you, Father God, for being a God that listens and answers. And Lord, it is just truly, truly amazing what you do for us and through us and with us. We don't deserve any of it, Lord. We were all just hellbound sinners before we met you, and now we're saved sinners, and we're looking forward to spending eternity with you. Lord, make us strong soldiers in these last days, and we'll just give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. One more song. I have to catch my breath after that prayer list, and we're going to come back with today's message, and I hope that it will be a blessing for you.
From the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools. Teach our children that we're animals. Speak against the golden rule. Try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye, but they'll never overcome God's word.
Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach and open up your holy word today. We thank you, we praise you, and we commit this time again to you, Lord, and ask you to lead and guide and provide. If there be one today, Lord, listening who is not saved, we pray that something will be said and done that would lead a lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, we pray that something will be said and done to get a lukewarm soul on fire for you. And for those of us that are not lukewarm, we are saved and we're battling it out on the front lines of the end times. Give us a renewed vision for what you've called us to do. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 through 4. 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 4. Now, these be the last words of David, talking about King David from Israel. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine speaking under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Here in 2 Samuel 23, 2, David is opening his mouth. Verse 1 says that he is the anointed of God. In the Bible, Jesus is anointed. Lucifer, he is the anointed cherub. And David, he's anointed. So, for the Bible to say that David was the anointed of the God of Jacob, I mean, that's really, really high praise indeed. And he says in verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds." He's talking about the second coming now. "As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." But David had some problems. David knew that his house was not exactly like that. His own personal house with his wife and his children. Verse 5 says, "Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh it not to grow. And then David is telling you that he is a bloody man. He has blood on his hands, but he has been washed clean. The Bible says, and I will give you the sure mercies of David. What were the sure mercies that God gave David? He gave him, he gave him eternal salvation. David should have lost his salvation, but he didn't. And this is a type picture of Christians living in the church age. Now, God gave King David mighty men. And in verse 8 through 10, we're going to read about a couple of those mighty men. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Enzite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Can you imagine having a soldier that is able to fight against 800 men with a spear and beat them all at one time? That's a mighty man. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I want to focus today on a man by the name of Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And here is a man that is so passionate for the fight. He is so passionate for the battle that he is fighting with his sword. And verse 10 says that until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And because of that, the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 5. And I want to get this a little bit further along on the timeline. I want to show you about Peter, James, and John in the closing moments of the kingdom age. Verses 40 through 42. Acts 5, 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The apostles lived in a period of time of great persecution from the Roman government, and that persecution would continue when the Roman government failed and the Roman church took over. That same persecution would continue all the way up through the Spanish Inquisition, all the way up to the Reformation and the publishing of the King James Bible. Over 1,000 years of persecution and tribulation by the Roman church against Christians. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that you and I have been given a weapon. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. You and I have been given a weapon, and we are to use this weapon. And I want to show you what it looks like when Jesus Christ is using this weapon at the second coming. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 19, 11 through 15, as we set the table today. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. and the armies which were in heaven, that's me and you, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And now I want to show you something that comes out of the mouth of King Jesus that goes before him, that goes before every white horse, and goes in front of every soldier in this heavenly army. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. This is the word of God. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what's coming out of the mouth of King Jesus in Revelation 19. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, how does all this relate to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10? He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Christian, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know the battle seems like it's been going on forever. But God gave David some mighty men, and these, what God was able to do with just three mighty men was the equivalent to what an entire battalion could do. And the reason for that is these mighty men is they clave to the sword. They ran into the battle, not away from the battle. And 2 Samuel 23:10 says that God wrought a great victory that day. Eleazar is holding his sword, and he's cutting and slicing, and he is knocking down the opposition. He is killing the Philistines, and he's tired, and his hand is cramping, and his elbow joint is hurting, and his shoulder is hurting, and he is just weary and he's tired, but he grips tighter and tighter and tighter to that sword. Have you ever been backslidden? Have you ever had like a really good run of time with the Lord, and then something happens, you make a couple bad decisions, and you wind up drunk, and you wind up backwards, and you wind up in a place that you don't want to be, and you feel like you want to quit? That's not the time to quit. That's the time to hold on to that sword even tighter. Put it under the blood and get back in the battle for the Lord. There is no quit on the battlefield. Eleazar was fighting so long and so hard, and he was weary and he was tired, and his hand began to cleave to that sword. It became part of that sword. And after a while, by the time that God gave him the victory, there was no difference between the handle of that sword and his fingers and his hand. That is a picture of what our relationship in the church age should be to that book, that King James Bible. Every single day I get emails from people telling me that these programs would be so much better if we would just use an updated version, if we would just switch to the ESV or the Legacy Standard Bible from John MacArthur. I get emails from people saying that we are hyper-dispensationalists because we teach a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And over time, you get tired. Over time, you begin to say to yourself, is this battle that I'm engaged in, is it making any difference? And time goes on, and then I'll get a letter, I'll get a card, I'll get an email. You don't know me. I'm one of those silent listeners. I don't go to the chat room, but I've been listening for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And I just want to tell you that listening to these programs has gotten me back on fire for the Lord, and that is replicating itself all across America and in at least two or three dozen different countries around the world. And I'm here to tell you that it does matter that you stick in the fight, that you stick to the battle. If you really want to find out how bad this battle is, just grab yourself a handful of gospel tracts and go down to your local street corner and start preaching. You don't have to get up on the bench. You don't have to yell and scream. You don't have to use a microphone or a bullhorn. All you have to do is just bring a King James Bible and open it up. And all you have to do, you can say it nicely, quietly, calmly. All you have to do is let that word of God, that sharp sword, come out of your mouth. And that sharp sword is going to do all the work that you need it to do. Over the years of street preaching in St. Augustine, God has allowed us to personally hand out over 1 million gospel tracts on that street corner. 24 people have prayed to get saved. Is it worth it, 10 years of street preaching for 24 souls who prayed to get saved? It absolutely is. And over the years, this ministry has taken on many fights and many battles, some from enemies without and some from enemies within. I preached a couple of weeks ago about the importance of sticking by the stuff. And you may be so tired that all that you can do is stay by the stuff and make sure that nobody messes with it so that it's there when somebody needs it. That also happened with King David and his mighty men. And when we look at King David, he is such a great picture of the Christian living in the church age. And all he wants to do is he has a heart for God, and he has his moments where he slips and he falls, and we get all that. But the part that is overlooked the vast majority of the time, the part that is overlooked is how much he loved the Word of God. 2 Samuel 23:1 says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel." What do you start your day with? Do you start your day with CNN news and a gallon of Jolt Cola? Or do you start your day with a cup of coffee and the preserved Word of God? We live in a time that is so unsettling and that is so spiritually dangerous that if you're not starting each and every day by immersing yourself in the Word of God, and I'm not talking about gritting your teeth and slogging through 3 chapters of the Bible and getting to the end of it and saying, "Whew, glad that's over." That's not the attitude that you need to have about the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 149. Turn to Psalm 149. I'll show you the attitude that you need to have about the Word of God. Psalm 49, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints." Do you start your day with that? Do you start your day with praising the Lord? Do you realize that when you woke up this morning, that 151,000 people who were alive with you yesterday are dead today? And do you realize that when God woke you up today, right now around the world, there's 151,000 plus people who are alive with you right now, who will be dead this time tomorrow? "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let him praise his name in the dance. Let him sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. You know what I started doing a couple of years ago? Around 2019, 2020? I stopped listening to all secular music. Every bit of it. I don't listen to it in the radio. I don't have it playing on my computer at work. I'll play classical music, but that doesn't have any words to it. But the point of what I'm saying is, about 3 years ago, I completely unplugged. I don't listen to any secular music. Now, why don't I do that? Because music is designed to lead you in a certain direction. Have you ever wondered why, if you ever watch movies about, like historical movies, about the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, any war that you can think of? For thousands of years, people have marched to war with musical instruments playing. And there's a reason for that. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Music is designed to motivate you in a certain direction. So you got to be very, very careful what type of music that you're listening to, because that music is going to take you into that direction. Now, the very first time that we hear about music in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, talking about Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. When God made Lucifer, he gave him built-in musical instruments. When you go to the book of Genesis, it is the descendants of Cain, the first murderer, who start to create musical instruments down on the earth. So you've got to be very, very, very careful about what type of music that you listen to. Now, I have been a musician since the age of 9. I have played the violin. I have been playing the piano for my entire life. I've written over 70 songs before I got saved. I have played in bands and played on people's albums. And I have played in recording studios and in concerts. So I know a little bit about music, and it wasn't until I got really, really serious about my walk with the Lord and I got rid of all secular music in my life. I don't listen to any of it. Doesn't matter if it was good stuff or bad stuff or whatever it happens to be. I pulled the plug on all of it. Because that will compete in your mind, going back to Psalm 149, that will compete in your mind for your praising God. Psalm 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the kingdom age. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And look at verse 6. When I lived in New Jersey, there was a church, Riverdale Baptist Church, and they had a softball team. And the shirts on the softball team, underneath the logo, it said Psalm 149:6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, I want you to think about Eleazar. I want you to think about him fighting in battle so strongly that his hand began to merge with the sword. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. I've already shown you from Revelation 19 and Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is that two-edged sword. And this is why we stick to the King James Bible only. Because we don't want a rubber sword. We want a sword that is not going to fail on us when we get into the heat of the battle. Verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. As we begin to go into this new year of 2023, I want you to begin to take a good look at the amount of time that you spend in God's Word. And I want you to compare that to the amount of time that you spend watching Amazon Prime, the amount of time that you spend watching YouTube videos, the amount of time that you spend listening to music that is not music that is glorifying God. And what I think that you will see is a shocking disparity between the amount of time that you are sowing the seed of the Word of God into your mind and between the amount of time that you spend watching things that do not edify, that will not be in eternity, and only serve at the very least to stop your forward progress in the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, going back to 2020, I was talking with somebody a couple of months ago, and they said, you know what, I've been listening to you for some time now. And you always had good programs, and I always enjoyed your Bible studies. But something happened around 2020, and you started teaching and preaching with a fire that you didn't seem to have before. And I took that as a compliment, because that is a true statement. There have been times since starting Now the End Begins in 2009 where I have not put my entire heart and soul into it. There have been times when I was just simply phoning it in and doing it because I felt that God wanted me to do it, and I did it because it's sort of like when you were a kid and your mom said, now eat your broccoli or eat that spinach or kale, and you didn't want to eat it, but you ate it because she told you to, and you didn't enjoy it, but you did it anyway. Well, there were times before 2020, not a lot of times, but there were periods where I would get a little bit cold. I would get a little bit, I don't even know what the word is. I would just kind of drift with the flow. But then in 2020, God got a hold of me. And he said, I want you to commit to this. I want you to ramp up your game. I want you to really begin to take this seriously as if people's lives depend upon it. Because spiritually speaking, it does. And I got before the Lord and I prayed about that thing. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do this full time, I got to make some changes. And I started making changes. One of those changes that I made was I dramatically began to increase the amount of time that I spend reading the Bible. And I began to look at it differently. And God gave me a renewed love for his word. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he talks about people who have, well, kind of drifted away from their first love. Now, our first love, if you're saved, our first love is Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. But in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he says this, starting in verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. One of David's mighty men, he took that sword and went into battle, and he held on to that sword even though he was weary and tired. He clave on to that sword, and that sword became a extension of his body. If you and I are to have victory in 2023, that old book, that King James Bible, you've got to be so saturated in that book that it becomes an extension of your mind, of your thoughts, of the words that come out of your mouth. That's how close that we have to stick to that book. And when you do that, the word of God that Hebrews says is quick and powerful. That book is reading you while you're reading that book. And that's how God is going to talk to you. That's how God is going to speak to you. That's how God is going to begin to take you to that next level. Now, when God was doing that with me 3 years ago, and he said to me, he didn't make me do it. He didn't force me to do it. God's not a Calvinist. God gave me a choice. He said, would you commit to this ministry full time? And I did. And the first life that changed was my life. And I began to walk closer with the Lord. Not perfectly, just closer. And as I began to walk closer, God began to work and move in a ever-increasing mighty way. And if you look back on what God has been doing with this ministry since 2020, it is miraculous. It is a miracle. There are just no words to describe it. From handing out 11,000 Bibles in 2021 to handing out over 104,000 Bibles in 2022. How do you account for that? And all the people getting saved and saved people getting on fire for God. There may not be a revival in the world. There may not be a revival in America. There may not be a revival sweeping across Europe, but God has given us revival here for the past 3 years, and the reason for that is sticking so close to that book becomes an extension of your mind, your body, your soul, your thoughts. And if we are to have the victory, that's what we need to do. And you need to take a look at your life and say, everything in my life that is in opposition to that book has got to go. Everything in my life that is in opposition to that book has got to go. So you pray about that. That's going to mean different things for different people. We all don't struggle in the same area. But Anything in your life that is in opposition to that book has got to be removed. And in Psalm 149, those people were praising God and dancing to God, not in some phony charismatic name it and claim it type of deal. There were no smoke machines, no laser lights, none of that crap. But they were legitimately praising God. Do you do that when you wake up? Do you thank God for waking you up today? Did you thank God for whatever you had to eat? I had a bagel and a cup of coffee, but I thank God for it, and I'm glad to have it. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to have to be wondering where that next meal is coming from. And I thank God for allowing me to go through those seasons, because it made a change in me. So in 2023, don't make any resolutions. Forget New Year's resolutions. But if you want to resolve to make a real change, the fastest, quickest way to make a noticeable, discernible change in your life is not to change your diet, not to start going to the gym or anything like that. If you want the thing that is going to make the quickest, most notable, most discernible change in your life, is you change how much you read that book, how often you read that book. Alexander Scorby recorded the entire Bible. I have those CDs in my car. I have played them for hundreds of hours. I have listened when I'm driving by myself in the car. I have listened to hundreds of hours of the King James Bible on CD. And if you begin to replace the time that you're looking at other stuff as much as you can, replace that with reading and hearing the Word of God, and you're going to find God beginning to work in your life in a way that you never thought possible. In 2 Samuel 23, you have a man who was battling so hard, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And he battled so hard that his hand became part of his sword. That's how you have to battle with that book. You have to open that book and jump in that book, start your day with it, end your day with it. And believe me, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you, and I'm preaching to myself. As I'm preaching, God is bringing to my mind ways that I can increase that in my own life. And if you want the blessings of God, the real blessings of God, if you want to be used of God in a mighty, mighty way, then you got to treat that book a little bit differently than you're treating it right now. You need to start every single day with not just forcing yourself to read two or three chapters, but reading two or three chapters and delighting in what you read. And God will make that book come alive for you. He'll put you in that book, and these people will become your friends. These people will become your acquaintances. And after a while, you're going to have more in common with the Apostle Paul than you do with your neighbor down the street. And that's the whole point of the Bible. When you treat that book the way that it was meant to be treated, more than your necessary food. Now, how often do you need to eat? I don't know about you, but I need to eat multiple times per day. I'm one of those people. I am an incessant snacker. I love to graze. I love to snack. You know what it says in Job 23, verse 12? Actually, Job 23, 10 through 12. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Don't be afraid of the trials. God uses a trial in the life of a born-again Christian to refine you. And Job says in verse 10, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Verse 11 says, "My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." And look at this next verse. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's what Job said 23 chapters into the worst persecution that anybody ever had, any human ever had in the Bible. 23 chapters into his persecution, into his trial, into his testing, Job still said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now, go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'll be done for today. 2 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse 1. Job said that, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And look at what David said. Now, in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 23, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Do you want to have revelation from God? Read your Bible. Do you want to be able to prophesy? Read your Bible. Do you want to know future things that haven't happened yet? Read your Bible. Do you want to know the reason for all the crazy things that are going on right now? Read your Bible. Do you want God to talk to you on a regular basis? Then read your Bible as often as you want God to talk to you. I have had many, many conversations with people, and they have told me, "God doesn't talk to me." And I ask them, "Are you saved? Have you become born again?" And yes, they have a testimony. And I pray and I pray and I ask God to speak to me, and he doesn't speak to me. I have heard that many, many, many times. And then the next question that I ask, "How often do you read your Bible?" And then the answer is usually, "Well, I've been meaning to get back into that book." Christian, you can pray all day, every day. You can pray as much as you can humanly stand to do it. But if that's you talking to God, if you want God to talk to you, you got to stop praying and start reading that book, and then praying and asking God to open up that book to you. Because that book is how God talks to you. When you pray, and praying is a great thing, and I encourage everybody to do it, but that is you talking to God. When you read that Bible, that is God talking to you. I hope this message made you see and made you realize the importance in the life of the born-again saved Christian of immersing yourself in that word and reveling in that word. And just like from Psalm 149, where they sang praises and they danced unto the Lord, that's how I feel. That's how I feel when I read the Bible. Spiritually speaking, I am dancing and leaping and singing praises to the Lord. You know, a lot of the times on these programs, I'll sing along with with some of the songs, and sometimes people will say to me, well, you really don't sing all that well. And I don't. But you know what? I love to open my mouth and praise the Lord, to lift him up in song, in music. In church, if you've ever sat next to me at church, you know that I am the loudest person in whatever church that I'm at. I'm always going to be the guy shouting amen when something good is being preached. I'm always going to be the guy who is singing at the top of his voice, even though I don't sing all that well, because I love the Lord and I love his book and I love to hear it preached and I love songs that lift him up. If you want the power of God, you got to get yourself a King James Bible. You got to get in that Bible. You got to believe what you read. You got to receive it. And then you got to do something about it. Now, if you can't afford a Bible, if you want a Bible, but you just can't afford one, go to BibleBeliever.com. We will send you a Bible completely for free. You don't got to pay for the Bible. You don't have to pay for the shipping. I'm not going to put your email address on some sort of a mailing list. If you need a Bible anywhere in the world, anywhere at all, if you need a Bible and you can't afford one, go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free. And anywhere in this world that the post office delivers to, we will send you a Bible completely for free in English and in Spanish and Ukrainian. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. You have preserved it. You have purified it 7 times in a furnace of earth. And Lord, we are glad and grateful for it. And I just pray, Father God, I know that the path to revival goes through your book. The path to Bible prophecy goes through your book. And Lord, we want to be fruitful servants for you. And give us a renewed love for your word and reveal it to us as we read it and enjoy it and esteem it more than our necessary food. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And there's just a brief message. I didn't go into too many deep theological truths. There wasn't a whole lot of nuggets today. But I promise you that if you will apply what I told you to do about the Bible, if you would start and end your day in God's Word, if you would turn off the secular music, I promise you that that is going to make an enormous, enormous difference in your life, just like it made an enormous difference in my life. Thank you for being part of this NTEB Sunday service, Lord willing. We're going to see you back here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. And Christiane, happy birthday.
All the things he saw, 4 horsemen they were riding to bring the wrath of God, the winepress of the nations in judgment bringing pain. you think you've seen the worst down here, it's gonna change. God's holy lamb and power is vestured dipped in blood. He's coming with the robe and white. Those who've overcome, they'll cry for rocks and mountains to fall and hide their face. But that won't stop the plan of God. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back, and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. We're living in the last days, of this we have no doubt. As evil days grow worse and worse, we're listening for the shout. Oh, with great anticipation and joy we can't contain, we're ready for our moving day. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back, and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back, and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. Oh, it's gonna change.